I want us to turn our thoughts now to the third chapter of Exodus. And I'll read the first six verses. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. First six verses of the third chapter of Exodus. Now Moses was a man of destiny. But he was off over here in the desert herding sheep. God had a higher destiny in mind for him than that. And he had great things in mind for Moses. Seemed that Moses may have had some understanding of what God had in mind for him. Because when he was down in Egypt, and he saw an Egyptian imposing upon one of his brethren, he jumped in and took a hand in that, slew the Egyptian, buried him in the sand, delivered his brethren, the one of his brethren who was in trouble. Then the next day he went out and he saw two of the Hebrews striving together. So he intervened in that, and he didn't get along so well there. But it said in that case that he supposed that they would have understood that God, by his hand, would deliver the children of Israel. Seemed like he had an understanding of just what his work was to be. But when this Hebrew, who was at fault in this matter, turned on him, began to rail on him, and as much as told him to tend to his own business, that he saw him kill the Egyptian yesterday and he's going to kill me just like he did him. And when Moses knew that the deed was done, he fled. Or was known that someone knew about his killing the Egyptian. He fled out of the land. Went over in the land of Midian. According to the record, he was over there about 40 years herding sheep, his father-in-law's sheep. And it's no doubt in my mind, at least I think that way, that Moses understood this. God had this in mind. Moses jumped in. He jumped the gun, so to speak. Kindly, under his own power, he went in to open this up and bring this to pass. And I don't know just how much it set back the schedule of God, but it could be 40 years. And I know that sometimes in our day, people who have an idea that such and such, that God is in this or God in that, and that God is wanting me to do something about this, and maybe He is, but we kind of take a hold of things ourselves, take things in our own hands, upset God's schedule sometimes, hinder the work of God. When if we'd have just waited on God, everything would have worked out all right.
Yes.
I've thought numbers of times about Adam and Eve. Now God made these folks, and He made them to have dominion over the work of His hands. Gave them wisdom and ability to exercise that dominion and to carry on in the work that He placed them there to do. Now God had in mind for these folks to have all the wisdom that they needed at any time for anything. If they had just went along with God, waited on God, whatever situation arose at any given time, God would have imparted to them wisdom to handle that, to know that. But the devil imposed on these folks and got them to feel like if they would do this particular thing, and it was the only particular thing that God had told them not to do, but the devil said, now if you do that, you'll become as gods, knowing good and evil. You'll know more than you do now. And by that means, by yielding to that, seeking in their own way to promote their own cause, they upset the whole arrangement, hindered the whole plan. Now it seems to me that Moses did this. In this case, by doing what he knew that God had in mind for to be done and him to do it, but taking hold of it in his own way, by carnal means, he upset the whole thing and delayed the whole program. And he spent 40 years over there in the land of Midian that he didn't need to spend over there at all on his account. But now he's coming along back here on this particular day, and I don't know but what by now this man had in mind to just spend the rest of his life over there on the backside of the desert taking care of those sheep. He'd probably just become settled down in that way of life by now. But as he walked along over there, he saw a very unusual sight. It was a fire in a bush, and it was burning, but the bush was not being consumed. Now, it's natural for things that get on fire to be burned up, to be consumed. But it wasn't working out this way. Moses looked that situation over and he said, there's something going on here. I'm going to investigate this. There's a mystery right here before my eyes. And I'm going to see why that bush isn't burning up. So the text said he turned aside to see. Then it said further, when God saw that he turned aside, that God began to speak to him. Now, if Moses had just went on the beaten path, followed the sheep on down that line, went on in the way that he'd been going for 40 years, there's no doubt in my mind but what he'd have just went on that way the rest of his life. This whole thing would have been different. The story would have turned out a lot different than what it did. But the unusual thing that was happening, which was of God, aroused this man's curiosity and caused him to turn aside out of the beaten path to see. Now, some folks, they have a beaten path. This is the way I've done for so many years. Or this is the way I've gone for so many years. And they're definitely rooted and settled and established in that routine, in that way of life. And if they just go on in their beaten path, that's the way it's going to be with them the rest of their life. But now along the way, God will create and cause to happen unusual things along the way. Maybe we're so settled in our routine and it comes so routinely and it's just a normal practice with us, this or that, we do it without thinking, and we're not alert to the unusual things that God creates to attract our attention. But if we go that way, if we cannot be turned from our beaten path, the way we've done for 40 years, then that's just the way we're going to do. But now Moses turned aside to see. And when God saw that he turned aside, now, God didn't say a word to him till he saw that he turned aside. He was pursuing this. He was investigating this. Looking into this. Folks, let me tell you something. God works in mysterious ways. He has wonders to perform. But when God begins to working in mysterious ways, if we're just looking straight ahead on our beaten path, just the way we've been going for 40 years, we'll not even see how God's working. We'll not see the unusual circumstances that God is shaping up here to attract our attention. Sometimes we get in such a routine, some people call it a rut, and just go right down that beaten path till we can almost go into sleep, and some folks are a good part of sleep. But God wants some people that'll be alert, that will see how the signs are pointing, that will be curious and investigate the mysterious things that God is creating along the way of life to attract you and me, that he might reveal himself to us in a greater way. Now when Moses turned aside to see, God spake to him. Going on down in this chapter, we see how that God informed him that he had heard the cries of the children of Israel and he had seen their affliction. down in the land of Egypt in their bondage and so on. And he said, I have come down to send you to deliver them. Now Moses is one of the great men. I'll say one of the greatest men in the Bible. In fact, he is one of the greatest men of world history. Moses is. But he would never have been that and would never have accomplished in behalf of the plan and purpose of God the things which he did if he just went right on down the beaten path with that little bunch of sheep he had and never turned aside to see. Now when things begin to shape up in your life and mine, unusual things begin to happen, it's a good time for us to turn aside to see.
Amen.
Those things do not just naturally happen. They're not accidents, but they are acts of God. Things that God is using to get something to you and me. It might surprise us what God would do with us, what God has in mind for us, how God would reveal himself to us if we would just turn aside to see when God begins to work in mysterious ways and unusual, extraordinary circumstances and conditions in our lives. Just turn aside to see. Be alert. Be curious. Be investigative. Have a desire to know what the purposes are in these things. There are purposes in all of them. Sometimes sickness strikes. Sometimes trouble comes. Sometimes it's blessings that come. It may be in one way or in another that God is working, but we just go right on and miss the whole thing if we just go right on down the beaten path and don't turn aside to see. Turn aside from the busy cares of life. Turn aside from the responsibilities of worldly things and of the things that pertain to this life. Turn aside from the turmoil, the confusion, and all of the things going on around us. Turn aside from what we intended to do, what our plans and purposes were. Brother Chandler used to say and say often, it's time for every one of us to drop all of our plans and work with God. Go along with God. He'd exhort sinners when the invitation was being given. Drop all of your plans and come and seek God. If we'll turn aside from our own plans and our own ways and means and our own ambitions and our own personal desires and all the turmoil and confusion of everything going on around us, just turn aside to the high mountain apart and go and investigate and see why this blessing came, why this trouble came. The Word of God says, in the day of God's blessings, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. Now there may be some occasions for rejoicing and there may be some occasions for consideration of our ways. But however God is working by blessing or by adversity, turn aside to see. Investigate that matter. See what God is trying to work out in your life. He might surprise you where he would lead you to. What he would use you for. I would reveal himself in you. Now, sometimes, well, to kind of open up this little thought, let us consider Cain and Abel a little bit. Now, these two brothers brought a sacrifice to the Lord. Abel was a tender of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the soil. Well, in course of time, Abel brought a sheep and made a sacrifice to the Lord. Cain brought of the product of the land. He was a tiller of the soil. And the things that he had raised and produced from the soil, he brought them and made a sacrifice unto the Lord. Now the Bible says that to Abel and to his sacrifice, God had respect. But to Cain and to his sacrifice, he had not respect. Now this is an important something right in here. You see, whatever sacrifice we may make to God, if God can't accept us and respect us, he can't respect our offering. And if he can respect us, he can respect our offering of whatever nature it is. Now, I don't know, but in my mind, I do not consider the thought that Abel's sacrifice was accepted because it was a blood sacrifice and Cain's was rejected because it wasn't a blood sacrifice. Now, I'm not thinking that way. That may be the way it was. But I believe that the premise is laid down here. The reason that God respected Abel's sacrifice was because he respected him. And the reason he rejected Cain's sacrifice was because he didn't respect Cain. Now you follow Cain on through, and you'll find there was a lot of things in Cain's heart and life that were not acceptable to God. Well, of course, God knew all those things, and he didn't respect Cain, so he didn't respect his sacrifice. But now the reason I brought this in, and the way I was headed in this, was that when Cain saw that his sacrifice was rejected and his brother Abel's sacrifice was accepted, he became angry. Now, all he could see was that Abel has been accepted and I'm rejected. My sacrifice hasn't been respected here. That's all he could see. But he could not see the reason why. Because there was something wrong with him, see, that God saw that he couldn't respect him, so he couldn't respect his sacrifice. So in his anger and jealousy, he rose up and slew his brother. Now here would have been a good place for Cain to have turned aside to see. If Cain would have turned aside to see why this thing happened to me this way, why God didn't respect my sacrifice, why I'm not blessed like Abel is, the story, no doubt, would have all turned out different. God would have revealed to Cain where his trouble was, and he'd have had a chance to work that all out. But instead of turning aside to see, investigating into this matter, he just laid it all on Abel and became jealous of Abel and angry with him and slew his brother. Folks, that spirit didn't die then. That spirit's in the world today. I've been in contact with it. I've seen it work at different times along down through my lifetime. That people, instead of turning aside to see when they're not blessed as much as other folks are, and when God doesn't respect them like he does someone else, instead of turning aside to see and investigating and checking in on themselves and discovering why God isn't blessing them as much as he's blessing someone else, instead of doing that, that would solve the whole problem if they do it that way. But instead of doing that, they go right on down their beaten path, become envious and jealous of the blessings that someone else is receiving, get critical toward them, get a clash going, and so on. Many things, many times, work out that way, which could have been solved, and the soul that was not blessed as much as the other soul have increased their own blessing if they had just paused in their beaten path, their way of life, and turn aside to see and investigate and humble our hearts to seek God. Now, what's the matter here? God's no respecter of persons. We believe that, don't we?
Yes.
Is God just as willing to bless me as he is you? Do we believe that? God is not a respecter of persons, but God is a respecter of conditions and attitudes and dispositions of heart. And a person whose heart is closer in tune with God is going to be blessed more than the fellow that's further out of tune and out of the way. But we'll never see that until we turn aside to see. The only thing we'll see is that so-and-so is being blessed beyond what I am, and we'll get envious, we'll get critical, and we'll get a pick on them and fault find them and say, well, they think they're somebody. They just think they're up there now. And so on. And many times when there are calls and occasions for you and me to turn aside and see just what's going on here, what's happening, why are things happening to me as they are, why is this trouble coming my way, why has this sickness come upon me? Why is my health broken? Why have these things happened to me? When things begin to happen to us, we need to turn aside and see.
Amen.
I know an individual that many things have happened to this person. Misfortunes and sickness and broken health, different things along the line, but their reaction to it has always been, oh well, God knows, God understands, I'm glad God knows, so am I. But there comes a time in your life and mine that we need to know what's going on.
Oh, yes,
We need to know why this or that is happening to us. How God is working. Now the Bible says in Job, says God speaks once, yea twice, in a dream, in a night vision, in pain on my bed, in wasting away, somebody just becoming emaciated and wasting away, their flesh diminishing from off of their frame, languishing in lingering sicknesses and diseases. But in all of it, he says, God did this to turn back man from his purpose and to withdraw his soul from the pit. And he said, if there be an interpreter present, someone that understands how God works, someone that can lay it out to this individual, why certain things are happening to them, why things are developing along this line or that, if there's an interpreter present, then he says, I've found a ransom. And what God needs is some interpreters. Some people that can explain the workings of God to people. And how things are happening and why they're happening as they are. And we need to turn aside to see for our own selves why that I'm being dealt with as I am. And things are happening in my life as they are. If you're not satisfied in your experience, it's high time to turn aside to see. Don't just go on the way you're going. Turn aside to see. God's word said that he would make them to drink of the rivers of his pleasure and to be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house. And if you're not getting that abundant satisfaction, it's time for you to turn aside and see. Just stop in your going. Turn aside and see. Take some time out to find out what's the matter that I'm not getting satisfaction. God has satisfaction for every soul. Now, if things happen between me and another individual that creates a condition there, and maybe even brings about a breach, things take on a trying nature between me and another individual. I'm tried, I'm vexed. It's natural for me to say, that fella did so and so. And that fella treated me so and so. And that fella said so and so to me. Different things that people say about different conditions. But somehow or other, many times we fail to get around to investigating ourselves. Why do I react to this thing like I do? It's a place for you and me to turn aside to see. There's some things God's trying to get to you and me. Trying to help us. In our way, just turn aside to see why I react to this like I do. Down in me somewhere is some condition that causes me to react like I do to certain things. But if I never investigate that, if I never check matters, I can just always say that fella did so and so, and he said so and so, and he acted so and so, and it's always the other fella, and I'm just going on but never getting the help I need. Never obtaining the deliverance. Now we have in Luke, the second chapter, concerning the birth of Jesus. And you remember that the angels appeared to some shepherds out there on the hillside that night. A bright light shone around them, the heavens lit up. The angel appeared to them, and they were affrighted. But the angel spoke comforting words to them and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host singing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now that was a great thing, wasn't it? That was a very unusual thing. And God had revealed something to these shepherd men out on the Judean hillside. But what did they say? They said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing." There was something in the doings of God that attracted them, drew them. What we need is spiritually mindedness. Something in the spiritual things that will draw us, attract us, create curiosity in us, cause us to investigate. Let us go to Bethlehem now and see this thing. The angel of the Lord had told them what had happened. But they were not satisfied with that. They wanted to go see it. They just left their flocks in the pens where they were and went to see this thing. God is not pleased with you and me getting so involved with the things of this life and the physical and material responsibilities that we cannot get loose and lay down things to go and see when God is working. And we need an urge in our heart to be where God is working. And an anxiety to be there where God is working. In John, the first chapter, verses 35 through 42 gets the whole story here. But Jesus was going along on this occasion, and some of the men that became his disciples later came up and said, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Jesus didn't say, "Well, I dwell at 322 Santa Ann Street over here. Or I dwell down here at the next intersection of road so and so and so and so." He never gave any address. He just said, "Come and see." God wants you and me to have that spiritual urge, that urge for God in our souls, to where we'll turn aside and go and see. Just come and see. Again, in the first chapter of John, verses 43 through 51 covers this story. And this is where one of the disciples went down, and I think it is Philip, and he found Nathanael down there. And he said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth." Well, that kind of stumped Nathanael. Nazareth wasn't a very reputable area. It wasn't calculated that great men would come out of Nazareth. Nathanael said, "Why, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth doesn't have that reputation. We don't expect great men to come out of Nazareth. But here you say, he of whom Moses and the prophets did write, you found him, this is him, Jesus of Nazareth." Philip never argued the matter. He just said, "Come and see. Just come on with me, I'll show you." Nathanael got up and went with him. As he approached Jesus, Jesus said, "Behold an Israelite in whom is no guile." And Nathanael said, "Well, how'd you know me?" "Oh," he said, "before Philip found you, I saw you over there under the fig tree. He was over there praying. And Jesus saw him over there." That convinced this man. He said, "My Lord, my God. Come and see." Nathanael would have always had that question hanging in his mind. Can any good thing, any important thing ever come out of Nazareth? But he got up from under the fig tree and went over there to see. God help you and me to develop a real spiritual curiosity and urge that will cause us to turn aside to see, investigate into the spiritual and eternal things of God, and to seek to know and discover how God is working, why He's working that way, how He is shaping up things in my life and what He has in mind for me. The psalmist said in the 48th Psalm, the 8th verse, he said, "As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of our God." God forbid that you and I would ever be satisfied just hearing the gospel, hearing the Word of God, that we'd ever be satisfied with just that, that we'd want to see the reality of it. "As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of our God." In the second chapter of Matthew, in this case, there's wise men that came from the east to see Jesus and worship Him. Now, I don't know just where these men came from. It is reckoned that they came from over in Arabia. And that's quite a little ways off from Judea. They'd made quite a little journey here. But they had seen His star in the east. And when they saw His star, they recognized it as an unusual star, a phenomenon. And they went to search it out. And by the time they got over there, they knew what that star meant. The God that had given them the sign had witnessed to their hearts that it testified of the birth of the King of the Jews. It was an unusual something. But those men, wise men, important men, astronomers that studied the stars and were conscious of a new star when they saw it, they left all of their doings, turned aside to see, left the laboratory that they worked in, and all the equipment wherewith they studied the heavens and the stars. They were important men. But they just left it all and went clear over to Judea. Said, we've seen his star in the east, the King of the Jews, and we've come to worship him. Folks, did you know that wise men still lay down what they're doing and go to search for Jesus, for his ways, for his plans and purposes in their lives? For whatever the need and condition may be, wise men always yet lay down what they're doing and go to see.
Yes.
And go to worship. That was wisdom for those men to do that. And they became important men in the Bible as well as having been important men in the world. God is not going to bless you and me. I've said this a time or two. I'm going to emphasize this and say this some more. That God is not going to bless you and me when we get so much involved in the physical and material things of life that we can't take time out and lay down what we're doing and turn aside to see what God's plans and purposes for us are, like he would if we didn't get that much involved. He may be blessing you some, and you may settle cheap. You may just be pretty happy about the blessing you're getting when it's only a tithe, so to speak. Maybe you could receive 10 times more if you just were able to lay down what you were doing and turn aside to see.
Praise the Lord.
Go and see. Jesus led Peter and James and John into a high mountain apart. Folks, that's where you and I need to go often.
Amen.
To the high mountain apart, or to the secret closet with the door shut, or wherever you might call it, or however you might say it, just to our place of devotion and prayer and worship before God. Communion with God, where Christ can be revealed to our souls in a greater way than he can under the ordinary circumstances of life. Now when Jesus got Peter, James, and John up there in the high mountain apart, he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became white like the light, so as no fuller on earth could white them. And his countenance shone like the sun. They never had seen Jesus like that before. They had seen him work with the multitudes. They had seen him in the happier days of his ministry. They had seen him feed the hungry by the thousands and heal the sick and cast out the devils. They had seen him preach the acceptable year of the Lord to the multitudes that followed him. They had witnessed his popularity and the miracles that he wrought, but they never had seen him like they saw him up there. You and I will never see him like we'll in our time either, until we go into the high mountain apart and get away from all the clash and confusion and disturbance and involvement and responsibilities and turmoils and so on that go on around us all the time. We've got to get away from that into a quiet place, a high mountain apart, for Christ in his glory, in his power, in his abundance of grace, to actually be revealed to our hearts. Turn aside to see that those who get the farthest with God, those who receive the greatest benefits and the greatest blessings in their lives from God, are the ones who make it a practice in their lives when things begin to happen to them one way or another in life, they'll pause and turn aside to see what's happening and how God is working and what God has in mind for them.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.